Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
I just want to just get the ball rolling for this next break by saying I'm not great at maths and I'm even worse at science. Oh,
I think maths is worse for you. But anyway, I agree, you're bad at both of them.
I read an article today that was very, look, I would say somewhat alarming, but also very confusing.
I didn't understand it.
Apparently, there has been
Sorry, just quickly. Strap in here. You're going to hear the word allegedly, apparently, reportedly, so much that Jess covers her ass. It's a classic. It's an absolute classic, and I'm impressed.
Here we go.
Go, get it, girl.
Apparently, there's been an unexpected acceleration in the Earth's rotation.
Right, so we're spinning around and around, Kylie Minogue style, a little bit faster.
And scientists have chosen three specific days they believe will be amongst the shortest on record.
Oh, because, yeah, if we're spinning around faster, the days are shorter.
Right? So there's going to be 3 days, July 9, July 22nd, and August 5th are going to be amongst the shortest days on record.
I bet you it's like it'd be like a second or not even that, right?
Each are going to be about 1.51 milliseconds shorter than the standard 24-hour day.
1.51 milliseconds. That is, who's keeping track?
I'll tell you who's keeping track. The International Rotation and Reference System Service. That's a real
We've
thing.
We've got spin doctors.
Yeah, actual spin doctors. And they've sat down and they've done the calculations. They've identified these specific three dates.
That's so funny.
The moon is going to be furthest.
Oh, think of the moon.
From the equator on those days. And that may influence the rotation speed. I don't know why. Don't ask me questions any further.
The moon's going around us. So that, like, that helps with like tides and all those kind of things. Here's the thing. So you know those movies where it's like a doomsday scenario. Let's say Independence Day. And there's a scientist. He's got his glasses or she's got her glasses on. And they run in with a whole bunch of papers. And they're like, you're not going to believe what we've discovered. Like, it's like printing out on a fax machine. Yes. But I imagine that there's these people. And it's like, yeah, we're going to be spinning faster. How fast? 1.51 milliseconds.
My God.
Mr. President, we're going to have to put it to DEFCON 2.
So the International Rotation and Reference System Service.
Such a good name.
Have noticed. They actually don't know what the cause of the acceleration is. Mm. They've looked at current and atmospheric models. Nothing explains it. But they're suggesting that in 2029, and again, I don't know where they got these numbers from, but in 2029, they may have to adjust for this shift. And it'll be the first time in history that they'll have a negative leap second.
Oh, backy.
Where they just...
It slows down too much.
They'll just kind of try and catch up. So it's like, hey, this is where we should be at, so we're just gonna leap straight forward.
Yeah.
Great. We're done.
I was going to say, if we kept going a little bit faster, then that technically helps us all age because we'll be aging faster, but literally we're not.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is how we live forever. If we spin faster, we will never die.
Oh, I'm seeing what's causing this now. Tim spinning the world.
I work
you
at
look
the
crazy.
International Spinning Society.
That's not what
the rotation
called.
Men and women of America. I am Kylie Minogue spinning around.
And then this is the bit of the article that kind of confused me.
Oh, you weren't confused from the rest of it?
No, I was definitely confused
from
the rest of it.
Totally.
This bit was very, it stood out for me. Mm. So the International Rotation and Reference System Service, they really need to get a shorter name. They said that historically, Earth's days used to be shorter in the Bronze Age. Uh-huh. So like, you know, I'm not even going to try and say how long ago that was. Long time ago. And apparently days used to last about 23 hours. So over time, that's stretched.
To longer days. Mm. So you did nail that part of the...
Thank you.
Allegedly.
Can you believe...
reportedly.
That my ancestors from the Bronze Age...
Yeah. Which was X amount of years ago.
X amount of years ago. Yeah. Passed down all these levels.
Yeah.
And they've gotten to me.
Tweedledum. Don't worry, I'm Tweedledee, so...
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Last year, I discovered something that gave... Like, you know how you just see something and you go, what's going on there? And then it's just like an unnecessary reason to smile.
Okay.
And you can only see it in winter. That's the kicker. And I get a bit worried because I thought maybe this year it's not going to be there. I know that you live on the other side of town, but when I come into work every day from Armstrong Creek, depending on where I can get a free park for the day, I park anywhere between South Geelong and Leopold.
Sure.
But I always go down Yarra Street first, heading towards Corio Bay, mm-hmm. because there's so many different offshoots that have all-day parking. Because I get in a little bit later than like pre-9.
You're waiting for someone who's parked early and left early.
Gone homesick.
Yeah.
Essentially. And I do a real slow 40 around Geelong looking for parks. And, you know, some days I call you and say, I'm in Queenscliff, can you come and get me? But there's something that I saw, and it's on the corner of Little Ryrie and Yarra Street.
Okay.
It's a tree. Last year I saw this. I don't know how long it's been there for. I've been doing a bit of digging. Some say it's been there for years. There is a street cone up in a tree on the top of like quite a decent branch. So it's not like, oh, it's going to fall off. It's like, it's up there.
So someone's climbed the tree to put it up there?
I don't know.
Or have someone had a really good throw?
Do you remember November of 22, how windy it was? Could have been then.
That's so true.
The windy times of November. I was going, when I drove in today, I pulled over. I took a photo of it to show you.
I wasn't expecting the tree to be so bare.
Well, because the leaves have fallen off because it's winter and it's deciduous. Yeah. So I can see it again. And I remember
today. It's one of those disingenuous trees.
It is a disingenuous tree because it keeps pretending that it's like, I've got leaves. No, I don't. Okay, I've got leaves again. But it's still there. I was so excited. I forgot about it, and I thought, deciduous this morning. That's what happened when I woke up, and I drove past, got out of the car, there in all its glory. I've been looking online. People initially were like, get it down.
Right.
Now people are like, no.
It's the cone tree.
It is the cone tree. This is iconic, and people are saying that it's essentially, it's not a natural, but it's like a bit of a decoration of town.
I think what we need to do, Tim, I've just had a brilliant idea. You know when you go to like some cities, it may happen here in Geelong too. I haven't seen it yet.
You're not very good at being it from Geelong, it's are fair. You?
It's fair. If it's not happening in Rippleside, I barely know what's happening.
Okay. Oh my God, that's the most Rippleside thing I've ever heard in my life.
You know when people like knit like a jumper for a tree?
Yeah, that's nice.
I think.
No, we can't. We cannot encourage people to keep doing this, Jess.
No. It's like, it's art. It's the cone tree. Knit a cone for the trunk. So the tree trunk is also a cone, and there's a cone in the tree.
Okay. Can I flag this by you?
Yeah.
Do you think you're asking a lot of the listener?
I'm not asking the listener. Ava, in from the newsroom, she can knit.
I'm going to ask a
question.
Whip
something up.
Do you think you're asking a lot of Ava from the newsroom?
She loves to knit.
If
Tim.
Ava from the newsroom wouldn't knit, she's given so. Oh, she looks concerned. That girl loves knitting.
She loves to knit.
She loves knitting.
She loves it. She loves a challenge.
And it is not looking.
She asked me what I wanted for the baby the other day, and I was like, "How about some booties?" And she was like, "Don't know how to do those yet."
So, do you think a tree stump cardigan?
Oh well, she made a vest for herself. That's way harder than a tree trunk. Tree trunk can be any size.
My thing is like I know. She'd have to keep going back to it because you can't just put it over it like a
well,
like
yeah,
a sock.
Would she have to
You'd
knit
have to
it
knit
at
it
the tree.
As a blanket and then connect it around. But I think people, because that's, and I'd say this lightly, reachable, it might be vandalized. Whereas that's this fair. Street cone is 6 meters
Do
in
we
the
need
air.
To add street signs?
Stop.
Sorry.
This is just, can't we just have a nice one-off thing?
That
we don't have to be like, well, let's do this thing. This is a nice thing that's existing.
Yes,
no,
yeah, you're right.
Not due to us.
Stand down, Ava.
Just
stand down.
She never stood up. But again, corner of Yarra and Little Ryrie. And again, I didn't have to tell you where it is. Because, and this happened when we talked about some of the fun heists we've done. We're letting you in. Don't ruin the fun.
No. If anything, let's celebrate the tree. Go and take a photo with it and tag us in it.
100%. 100%.
Can you stop on the way to work on Monday and take a little photo?
How does Tuesday sound? Pretty busy on Monday.
Fair enough.
I've got a lot of knitting to do, apparently, so.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Tim, we've discovered, I'm not a marine biologist. But
are you kidding me? After all these years,
I know I've hidden it so well.
I'd safely assumed that you were.
whole bunch of really more smart people than I have been studying.
That sentence itself really describes everything you're saying.
They've been studying one of your favorite animals.
I got a lot in the ocean.
In the ocean?
Whale
big
shark.
Big boys?
Whale shark?
No, I think bigger.
Just whales.
Yeah, killer whales.
Killer whales.
In particular.
Killer whales aren't bigger than whale sharks.
Are they not?
No.
I thought they were the biggest. That's why they call them killers.
No, they're killers because they kill.
Yeah.
And whale sharks are the biggest sharks. So that's why they call them whales.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Killer whale, I reckon you'd need two killer whales to get the same mass of a whale shark.
Really?
Yeah.
See, this is why I'm not a marine biologist.
Again, I'm shocked. I'm shocked, I assume, safely.
A pair of killer whales, orcas, have been spotted kissing in the wild for the first time.
More like killer whales. That's nice.
They were even using their tongues.
Oh, that's a bit...
I just want you to picture that for a second, because I've got photos of it and videos.
You got... hang on. On your work prescribed computer, you have videos of killer whales using tongue.
Yeah.
Don't show me. I don't
have a look.
Oh.
Yeah.
Free Willy, no.
Free Willy indeed.
Willy has been let off the chain.
Apparently many animals in the wild are known to engage in mouth contact as a form of social interaction.
This music seems far more inappropriate now that I've seen that photo. I cannot believe. Can you put a content warning on socials on our character on our Instagram?
Things are about to get randy.
Content warning, you are about to see a photo of killer whales kissing because people need to see that. That's cooked.
So the scientists can't figure out exactly why orcas are engaging in this kissing behavior. They've never seen it before.
Love can't be described, Jess. That's the thing. It's for me, you, for killer whales.
They're assuming that it could serve a function similar to like grooming in other animals.
Okay.
So like they're walking up to, you know, they're young walking. They're swimming up to...
Again, not a marine biologist. Not a marine
They might go up to younger whales and engage in similar behavior to like strengthen social bonds. They're not sure if it's like a romantic thing as such or whether it's like a grooming behavior.
Could it be like how we see some birds feed their young where it's like a bit of spew in
the
mouth?
Like,
you know what you're doing and I'm not going to bite.
You said spew in someone's mouth, so.
Yeah, and I feel like it didn't need the sound effects. Again, we're not going to do them.
Dr. Almunia.
Yes.
It's been a long day, too.
Can I just...
One of the doctors said, it's plausible, and this is the doctor's words, Tim, the tongue nibbling serves as a social function similar to oral contact behaviours in other mammals. So they're looking towards other mammals, like ourselves, and they're trying to determine whether it is like, you know, a parasocial thing or whether it is...
Sorry, who's the doctor again? I just... if they're saying this, I want to know who it's coming from.
Dr. Almenopiano.
Almenopiano. You are... Can I just say, you have been like all afternoon, you're like, oh man, wait till you see what I got right at the end of the show.
I thought I'd leave it to the end. I should have done it earlier.
You really should have.
Whales have been very fascinating the last few years. Scientists have discovered them doing all sorts of weird stuff. Last year, they observed orcas wearing dead salmon as hats.
Yeah, they've been
in
taking
a, like
on,
a weird fashion thing.
They were like sinking billionaires' yachts. After you've worn a salmon, dead salmon as a hat.
Yep.
Taken on Elon Musk's yachts. Maybe you do feel like making out with a fellow orca. Maybe they've just played a game of spin the sea lion.
And that's why another one of the scientists, Dr. Luke Rendell. Has suggested that it could be a soothing response to high-stress environments. Maybe they're very stressed and they're...
That's a second warning. So the next time your partner approaches you, again, like make sure you're paying attention to this if you're listening. The next time your partner approaches you with a salmon for a hat and wants a bit of kissy-kissy, say, I know what's going on here. I heard that girl on the radio, that marine biologist, tell me, and this is not on.
All thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.